Okay, in alhamdulillah, wa salam Allah, wa rasulullah. Inshallah, we're going to get started today on the first class, which is the Tawheed class. And today we're going to begin a new topic of discussion. We're going to talk about what are the major sins in Islam. Now, we spent the past week discussing the different crimes and punishments in Islam. And for those of you who showed up yesterday to take the exam, you all did very well, and you can go to the exam, audio exam section of the website to hear your results. And the purpose of us now moving on to this topic of major sins in Islam is to stay in the mode of crime and punishment in Islam. Because not only are we going to go over what the major sins in Islam are, but we're going to also discuss the punishment too. The punishment being mostly in this world and in the hereafter. And also, as we go over the different types of major sins in Islam, I want everybody here to keep one thing in mind. We need to keep in mind that as Muslims, we should not concern ourselves with whether or not a sin is major or minor, because it doesn't really matter. All sins are acts of disobedience to Allah. And that's how the true believer views it. The true believer makes no difference between a minor or a major sin, because he or she knows that they are both acts of disobedience to Allah. And anytime we disobey Allah, we are punished by Him. Anytime we disobey Allah, we get His anger. It doesn't matter if it's major or minor. So I don't want you guys to learn what these sins are to think that these are the only sins that you need to be concerned with committing. You should be concerned with committing any action of disobedience. But I'm just going to go over some of the major sins, because there's a lot of people out there who really don't, who really lack true comprehension skills. So they don't know what the haram is or what the halal is. So we're going to go over the major sins to give you guys some type of understanding as to what are some things that we can and cannot do as Muslims. And we're going to begin with the first set of major sins, beginning with the sin shirk. And we spent a lot of time before in the past talking about shirk. Shirk is to equalize other things with Allah. It means to worship things alongside with Allah, or besides Allah, such as worshiping a rock or a human being or the sun or the moon or a prophet or a sheikh or a friend or a star. And Allah speaks out in the Quran about the seriousness of this sin. Allah tells us in the interpretation of the meaning, "Verily Allah forgives not that rivals should be set up with Him in worship, but He will forgive anything else to whom He pleases." Also, Allah tells us in the interpretation of the meaning, "Whosoever sets up rivals in worship with me, then Allah has forbidden paradise for him, and the fire will be his home." Also, Allah says in the interpretation of the meaning, "Enjoining others in worship with Allah is a great wrong indeed." So thus we can see that this is a horrific sin. In fact, it's the worst sin that you can commit, which is to associate partners with Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, "Shall I tell you what the fatal sins are?" And he mentioned shirk as being one of the fatal sins. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us. He said, "Beware of the fatal sins," and he mentioned shirk as being one of them. Okay? And as everybody here knows, there are different types of shirk. Shirk is not does not just mean that you bow down to somebody else other than Allah. There's different forms of shirk, and you guys should know the different forms. The hidden shirk, okay, being discontent with your situation. Shirk when it comes to following or obeying the laws within the law. There's many different categories of shirk, and it's important for you guys to learn them. Okay, the next fatal sin that we want to be reminded of today is the sin of murder. The sin of murder. And Allah tells us in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, "And whosoever kills a believer intentionally and his payment is hell to abide therein, and the wrath and curse of Allah are upon him, and a great punishment is prepared for him. Also Allah says in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, and those who invoke not with Allah any other god, nor kill such life as Allah has forbidden, except for just cause, or commit illegal sexual intercourse, whoever does this shall receive the punishment. The torment will be doubled to him on the day of judgment, and he will live there in disgrace, except for those who repent. So here we can see the seriousness of murder. Also Allah says in the Quran, and the interpretation of the meaning, if anyone kills a person, unless it be murder for spreading mischief in the land, it would be as if he had killed all of mankind. So murder is a terrible crime. It's a terrible sin that we need to avoid, especially when you go around if you kill another Muslim. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to avoid the seven fatal sins, and he mentioned murder as being one of them. And somebody came to the Prophet one day and said, O Prophet of Allah, which is the most fatal of all sins? And he said, to worship others, to equalize others with Allah. And the man said, then what sin comes after that? And the Prophet said, to kill your son for the fear of feeding him. And then after that, to commit adultery. So as you can see, guys, murder is the second worst sin to commit. So we have to avoid this. And unfortunately, we got Muslims running around the earth today committing murder like it's nothing, killing innocent people as they get on a bus, blowing up buildings. And these people claim that they're doing it in the name of Allah. They're not doing it in the name of Allah. Okay? We even got Muslims going around killing other Muslims, throwing bombs, killing other Muslim people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if Muslims fight each other with swords, then the killer and the one who is killed will both be in hell. A person then asked the Prophet, why would the person who was killed be in hell? And the Prophet said, because his intention was to kill his Muslim brother. So we got Muslims running around the earth today blowing up other Muslims and all this stuff. What type of nonsense is this? They're not doing this in the name of Allah. These people will be taking their punishment in hell as a result of this. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man is still in a wide scope of religious actions unless he commits murder. Also, he said, do not return to blasphemy after me by killing one another. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, killing a believer is greater to Allah than the banishing of the entire earth. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first thing that is judged between people is blood. The most fatal of all sins are shirk, followed by murder. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah forbade on me the one who kills a believer. And he said this three times. And this is on the condition of the person being a Muslim. Okay? So we can see, guys, murder is a terrible crime indeed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every soul that is killed unjustly, part of its blood is on the hands of Adam's first son, since he was the first to initiate this crime. Also, the Prophet said, he who kills a warrior, and that warrior is Muslim, will not smell the fragrance of paradise, which is smelt within a walk of 40 years. Also, the Prophet said, he who kills a soul that has Allah and the Prophet's protection committed breaks Allah and the Prophet's commitment and will never smell the fragrance of paradise. Now, who are these people they're talking about? These are talking about killing the people whom Allah and the Prophet protected. These are the dhinnis. These are the non-Muslims who are allowed to live in Saudi Arabia. and pay the jizya tax. And these, look at this, we got Muslims going around beheading and killing the American civilians who are allowed to live in Saudi Arabia and work. These are the dhimmis. These are the people whom Allah and the Prophet are talking about. People who are under the protection of us. To kill them, this is a major sin. And whoever does this will never smell the fragrance of paradise. Okay? So as you guys can see, these terrorists who are running around the earth giving us Muslims a bad name, these people are not believing Muslims. These people have no fear of Allah. They're committing crimes against Allah, crimes against the Muslims, crimes against the Prophet, crimes against the religion of Islam. And unfortunately, they go around seducing young, ignorant men. Young, ignorant boys, 16, 18, 20-year-old boys who don't know anything about their religion. 20-year-old boys who live on the streets of London or the streets of America, sitting around wasting their time doing nothing but debating Islam with people who don't have no knowledge. 20 or 16 or 18-year-old boys who have no concept of what it means to have fear of Allah, who don't even know the sunnah, who probably don't even pray, who don't even wear beards. These are the people that these crazy terrorists seduce and solicit to join them to go put bombs on and blow up innocent people, kill innocent people, behead dhimmis. So as you guys can see, it's important for you young men to stay off the internet in those chat rooms of debate, to stay out off the streets of London wasting your time and idle talk with crazy extremists, and instead get your behinds home and learn the truth of your religion, which is a peaceful way of life that condemns people who go around killing innocent others. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who backs on murdering a believer, even with his word, will meet Allah with a desper of Allah's mercy written between his eyes. Allah forgives every sin except the sin of dying an unbeliever or killing a believer intentionally. So we better fear Allah. You young boys out there who are easily misguided by those crazy fanatical speakers, you better fear Allah. Okay? The next major sin that we're going to discuss today is the sin of magic. The sin of magic. The reason why this is a major sin is because the magician is an unbeliever. Allah tells us in the Quran that they are unbelievers. Okay? Magicians are unbelievers because they want you to think that they have knowledge of the unseen when only Allah has knowledge of the unseen. A magician cannot give you knowledge of what's going to happen tomorrow. Also, a magician thinks that they can change the decree of things. So this is why they are unbelievers. And anyone who indulges in magic, this is a horrific crime. This will make you an unbeliever. And the penalty for a person found guilty of magic is to strike him with a sword. In fact, Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, a year before his death, he sent a letter to kill every magician, whether male or female. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, there are three people who will never enter paradise. The alcoholic, the person who severs the ties of kinship, and the one who believes in magic. We need to also understand that claiming to have knowledge of the unseen or being able to possess powers or believing in amulets, these things are all forms of shirk too. These things are all forms of shirk. So magic is a very, very horrific sin that we need to seek refuge from. Okay? The next fatal sin we want to talk about is the sin of abandoning the prayer. And we get a lot of questions about this every day from Muslims about what's the penalty for a person who doesn't pray and all of that. Allah talks about the people who abandon the salat. Allah says in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, there has succeeded them a posterity who has given up the prayers, and instead they follow their desires. So they will be thrown into the hellfire, except for those who repent. Allah also says in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, woe to the worshippers who delay their prayers from its stated fixed time. Now let's talk about stated fixed time. A lot of Muslims don't understand what's meant by delaying the prayers. Delaying the prayers means praying your prayer when it's not its time. For example, there's a lot of people who don't make salat until the end of the day. They claim just because they have to go to work, they think that's an excuse to not make Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib on time. So they'll wait till they're at home from work to then pray all their prayers. This is wrong. This is haram. Your prayers are not even accepted. And this is what is meant by delaying the prayer from its fixed time. We need to understand that every prayer has its fixed time. For example, if Dhuhr comes in at 1 o'clock, and it ends at 3, you have until 1, from 1 till 2:59 to pray Dhuhr. You have all that time to pray Dhuhr. That's the fixed time. So you can make Dhuhr any time within that fixed time. Any time between 1 and 3, you can pray Dhuhr. That's the fixed time. You cannot turn the clock back to bring back 1 p.m. for January 2005. Okay? Every prayer has to be prayed within its fixed time. To not pray within its fixed time, you're not making that salat. Also, Allah says in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, they will ask, what caused you to enter into hell? And they will answer, we were not of those who prayed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the commitment between us is prayer, and he who leaves prayer is an unbeliever. He also said, he who misses the prayer of the afternoon loses all his work. He also said, between unbelief and man is the prayer. He who leaves prayers intentionally is free of Allah's protection. So as we can see, guys, the one thing that separates us from the non-believers is our salat. The non-believers don't pray, but we do. That's the one thing that separates us. Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, once said, he who misses prayers will have no luck in Islam. He who leaves the prayer is an unbeliever. The companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, they did not consider anything as unbelief except leaving the prayers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, he said, the first thing man is asked for on the day of judgment is his prayer. If his prayer is done properly, then he will pass. If it is not done well, he will lose. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was commanded to fight people until they cited that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger, and they fulfill the prayers and pay the zakat, and they fulfill these things. If they fulfill these things, they will prevent their blood and money within the rights of Islam, and Allah will reckon with them. This is what led to the apostasy wars after the Prophet Muhammad's death, when Abu Bakr became the Khalifa of the Muslims. The people still claimed to be Muslim, but they didn't want to pay the zakat. We have to remember that paying zakat is an obligation that we owe to Allah. The people did not want to pay zakat. So this is what made Abu Bakr issue the fatwa that anyone who refuses to fulfill the obligations to Allah is an unbeliever. And we have a right to kill them, to make war upon them. And that's what he did. So whenever you abandon your prayers, or whenever you abandon fasting during the month of Ramadan, or whenever you abandon praying your zakat, this will take you out of Islam and make you an unbeliever. Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who keeps not his fulfilling of prayers will have no light nor salvation nor proof on the day of judgment, and he will be placed in the hellfire with Pharaoh, Haman, and the others. So all these verses of the Quran and the Sunnah prove that anyone who refuses to pray or who abandons their prayer is an unbeliever. So we have to be careful of this, guys. And we have to remember to pray our salat at their fixed time. You cannot make all your salat at the end of the day because you're not making anything. And this takes us to the next fatal sin, which goes hand in hand with prayer, and this is not paying the zakat. And again, whenever we refuse to fulfill the obligations owed to Allah, we are no longer considered a believer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who refuses to pay zakat, we will take it from him and part of his wealth as a strict order from Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first three people who will go into the hellfire are a prince who deals high, a wealthy owner who did not pay zakat, and a poor, proud man. So again, praying zakat is one of the obligations we owe to Allah. If you don't pay zakat, then all your other deeds are not accepted. Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, said, you were commanded to pay zakat and pray. He who does not pay zakat, his prayers will not be accepted. SubhanAllah. We now move to the next fatal sin, which is the sin of disobeying our parents. The sin of disobeying our parents. Allah says in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, thy Lord has decreed that you worship no one but him, and that you be kind to your parents. Whether one or both of them attain old age in your life, say not a word of contempt or repel to them, but address them in terms of honor. And out of kindness, lower the wing of humility to them, and say, my Lord, bestow on them thy mercy, even as they cherish me in childhood. What this means is we're supposed to treat our parents with respect. It doesn't matter if they're Muslim or Kafir. We have to treat them with kindness and respect. And if your parent is a Muslim, you have to overlook their badness and ask Allah to bestow mercy upon them, because they bore you into the world and raised you up to where you are. Okay? And if your parent is a non-Muslim, we still obey and respect them unless they tell us to do something against Islam. If they tell us to do something which contradicts our belief, then that's when we tell our parents no. But we have to be nice and kind to our parents, even though they are Kafir. Okay? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I inform you with the most fatal sins of all? He then mentioned disobeying your parents as being one of them. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the parent is the middle door of the doors of paradise. If you want to preserve your parents, and if you want to lose him, lose your parents. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, People who do not enter paradise are the disobeyer of parents. Okay? The person who also reminds others of his charities and a drunk, and the person who believes in magic. These people will not enter paradise. Also the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the one who disobeys parents and the person who does not believe in Allah's decree will not enter paradise. So again, guys, we have to honor our parents and be nice to them, not evil to them, and not utter a bad word to them, because a disrespect to our parents is a means of keeping us out of paradise. The next fatal sin I want to discuss for today is the sin of interest. The sin of interest. And this is a sin that so many of us do not want to accept the reality of being a sin. So many of us, we want to go out and buy a house to be like the Kaffirs. So we don't care how we buy that house. We try to sit around making excuses for ourselves to commit this sin of interest. We even go on the internet shopping for fatwas from people to try to make it lawful for us to indulge in interest. Interest is one of the fatal sins. Allah says in the Quran, and the interpretation of the meaning, O you who believe, fear Allah and give up what remains of your damned property. O you who believe, fear Allah and give up what remains of your damned for usury, if you are indeed believers. If you do not give up usury, then take notice that Allah has declared war on you on the day of judgment. Also Allah says in the interpretation of the meaning, those who eat up usury will not stand except as stands one whom the evil one by his touch has driven to madness. So interest is a serious sin in Islam. Allah has declared war on the day of judgment for all those people who indulge in interest. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, avoid the seven fatal sins. And he listed them as being shirk, magic, murder, and the eating of interest. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for the person who endures an interest, and the one who authorizes it, the one who witnessed it, and the one who wrote it, if they only knew that they are damned, all of them are damned by Allah. So we have to stay away from interest. And we cannot use the excuse, oh, I live in a Kafir society, because interest has been around for centuries. Even in the days of the Prophet, interest existed. In fact, when the Prophet sent Ibn Mu'adh to Yemen, he told him, you are going to a country in which all the people there practice interest. Stay away from it. Do not indulge in it, even if it means you're the only one in that country who doesn't do it. So interest is nothing new. You cannot say you live in a Kafir society and use it as an excuse to commit interest. You have to stay away from it. The next fatal sin we want to talk about for today is the sin of eating up the orphan's money unjustly. This is a terrible crime, to steal from the orphans, to take from the orphans. Allah says in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, those who unjustly eat the property of orphans, they eat a fire into their own bodies. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to avoid the seven fatal sins, and he mentioned taking the property of orphans as being one of them. So we have to be careful what we do to the orphans, guys. We can't go around abusing them and stealing what little bit they have. And this takes us to the next fatal sin for today, which is the sin of lying on the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a big one. If you guys notice, I am constantly reminding people on that question board to stop lying on the prophet. To lie on the prophet means to say that he said something and he did not say. This is why we have to be very careful going around quoting hadith. Because if you quote that hadith and don't know the history behind it, and you quote out of context, you are now lying on the prophet. Lying on the prophet will make a person an unbeliever. And there is no doubt that lying on Allah or his prophet is forbidden. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to lie on me is not like lying on anybody else. Because he who lies on me intentionally will be placed in the hellfire. He who lies on me will have a house built for him in hell. He who tells a falsehood on my behalf, a false hadith, he is one of the liars. So we have to really be careful of this sin. Going around quoting hadiths we don't know the meaning of. Going around saying things about the prophet that ain't true. Going around saying things about the companions that are not true. For example, going around saying that Umar innovated. That Umar said it's good to innovate. This is a lie. Never was he an innovator. And never did he say that it was good to innovate. We have to be careful going around making statements like that. Because that'll make us an unbeliever. And our punishment will be the hellfire. And now this brings us to the last sin that I wanted to talk about for today, which is the sin of eating during the month of Ramadan without any excuse. In other words, breaking your fast during the month of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who eats at Ramadan with no excuse or permission will never be able to exchange it even by fasting a lifetime. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the five prayers, Friday to Friday, and Ramadan to Ramadan, are repentance for what is between them of sins. In other words, if you fast this Ramadan and next Ramadan, you are forgiven for any sins that you committed in between them. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Islam is built upon five bases. The first basis is the statement of faith. The second is the prayer. The third is zakat. The fourth is fasting during the month of Ramadan. And the fifth is doing the hajj. In another hadith, Ibn Abbas said, the bonds and bases of Islam are three. There is no God but Allah, the prayer, and the fasting of Ramadan. He who leaves one of them is an unbeliever. And if you find the person wealthy, but he did not perform hajj or pay zakat, he is an unbeliever. So thus we need to understand that to go around during the month of Ramadan breaking your fast, this is the same as not praying. This is the same as not paying zakat. This is the same as not making hajj when you're able to. And anyone who abandons any of the commitments owed to Allah becomes an unbeliever. So on that note, we're going to stop right here for today. And then tomorrow we will continue by going over the next 10 fatal sins. Again, the purpose of this series of lectures is not for you to just worry about whether or not you're doing a major sin. The purpose here is to educate you of what some of the sins are in Islam. Because the believer understands that all sins are acts of disobedience to Allah. It doesn't matter if the sin is major or minor. It's an act of disobedience which brings about Allah's punishment and anger. So we'll stop right here for today. If you guys have any questions about anything, inshallah, go ahead and ask them now.